This week on the Beard M podcast, we call the cops on the internet.
On this episode of the Beard M podcast, Ethan and I explore Wikifeet. On this episode of the Beard M podcast, Ethan and I make bread. On this episode of the Beard M podcast, we fix the economy. The first thing I want to talk about is how karma works. Because everybody's like, they always are like, oh, karma's going to get you. Like, people acting like out, being douchebags, whatever. And they're like, yeah, karma's going to get them one day. But what they don't think about is...
that it doesn't exist.
Well, there's that. I mean, to an extent, I kind of think there's karma. But there's just as... okay, if you do mean things are going to happen to you. Like, I think there's the opposite thing. Like, everything's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're only doing good, it's not just good's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
But like, I think just as much bad could happen to you to kind of balance out the good.
Well, it's just, karma's just cause and effect. You can influence your surroundings by doing good things for others, and that makes people like you more willing to help you out, you know. And so it's by doing good, you're setting yourself up for good things to happen. But by doing good, it doesn't force good things to happen. And like that, like, yeah, it's just, I guess it's just the
moral of that story is just don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be an
Nobody likes to help
yourself up for bad things.
Yeah. Just be cool. We're cool.
Be cool, bro. Topic one, done.
Topic one. This month's beer of the month is dun 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 dun.
Sagatuck Blueberry Lemonade Shandy.
Hells yeah. We had that up in Mackinac, Michigan.
Yep.
For the first time on draft. Which is even better than in the can, but if you find it in the can, definitely pick it up. The guys up at Sagatuck and women. I don't know. I don't discriminate.
The
it's all good beer. The people up there make a fine shandy.
Yep.
I would definitely recommend it.
Very
any
refreshing.
Any gathering, any time of the year, even the middle of winter. It's just refreshing.
It's a good time.
Do you think we should form an internet police?
An internet police.
Like, there's always the joke of like, oh, the internet police.
But... I mean, we kind of have an internet police. It's called the FBI.
I mean, like, somebody that, like, a task force that would scour the internet for, like, obviously, like, the bad things. So, like, the dark web and, you know, human trafficking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then also, like, would patrol would patrol for like fake news, I guess, like, I don't know, malware, like it would
basically
all encompass
anything
that like
would
all
be
that
considered like, you know, lying, like, but yeah, basically just like anything bad on the internet, they would sort of patrol. And it makes it like a sketchy area. Because, like, obviously, we do govern, like, there are laws against a lot of, like, bad stuff that is on the internet. But, like, I don't know. How do you necessarily, like, make a law that says if you are posting news that happens to not be correct, you know, it's against the law or just against... how do you make a law that then says that that's... against the rules or something? I don't know, because like definitely there are people who do like fake news, and that's like their core thing is spreading misinformation. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess if they go after those types of people that are clearly showing a pattern of complete disregard for truth, then like, I guess that's one thing. But like, even though I do think fake news in general, just misinformation needs to be, we need to start doing something about it because it's getting out of hand.
Instead of like calling it an internet police, it should be like an internet detective.
Yeah.
Where maybe, because it'd be hard to do, I guess, to decipher between what's fake news and what's satire.
Yeah.
And so it'd be nice, though, if there was like one place you could go where like everybody knew about and it was mainstream, it was popular, where you could just fact check.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it says that 100% of white males have AIDS. And you could just go onto the website and be like, do 100% of white males have AIDS? And it would just be like, no. And it'd be 100% like, boom.
Yeah.
This is correct.
Well, and like, there's a lot of stuff that's out there on social media that, like, generally, if it's been out there long enough, which surprisingly, a lot of it has been out there for f-ing ever. You can usually find correct answers on it just by Googling it.
Well, and there's a lot of stuff that is spammy that you can actually look up on Snopes, which I guess is somewhat internet like detective that. Website.
Snopes. I don't even know if I've
I think
heard
it's
of that
Snopes.com,
website.
I think. And it pretty much like if you, a lot of times like those Facebook, like, oh, if you don't post this as your Facebook status, which are obviously fake, but some people still fall for it.
Yeah.
Like you could go on there and it would tell you like, oh no, this is like a spam email that was circulated last year or something.
Yeah. The worst ones are the things that are like, if you see a piece of paper in your windshield wipers, run away from your car. You know, because there are people who are, I don't know, just putting pieces of paper in your windshield wipers, and then you get in your car, you start your car, you look up, you
see it,
and then
you get attacked.
Then you get out to take it off, and then people carjack you.
It makes me wonder, though, how often that happens.
Never. Then, like, those stories that are like that. Some of them have never happened. Other ones have maybe happened like a very select number of times.
Like the ones that I always see are if you're driving down the road and somebody throws eggs at your car, don't turn your windshield wipers on to clear them because it smears across your windshield and then you can't see. And so then you pull over and they want you to pull over.
That way they can carjack you and homicide you.
It's a gang initiation.
Oh, I heard it's something like with gang initiation, gang members are driving around and with their brights on, and whoever flashes their brights, they'll turn around and like hunt you down and kill you.
They'll follow you home and then kill you.
But
at the same time, like we think that's, you know, it's all kind of a joke. I bet somewhere it's probably happened once.
It probably has. I mean, just like most stuff, it's based in fact. Maybe it's not necessarily exactly like that, but something very similar. You know, maybe it wasn't a gang initiation. Maybe there was just a crazy dude who, like, somebody flashed their lights at them and they just lost it and did something like that. And then it got
warped crazy people
into like a gang initiation. Like, it happens all the time.
It's all those Facebook warriors.
Oh yeah, dude. Well, it's like, I mean, we see it a lot from like a small town. I constantly see stuff of like, you know, oh, there was a strange guy lurking around in the backyards of somebody's house. And it's like,
do you really think
that there's like people just walking around people's backyards that like don't have a legitimate reason that they're there?
If they're doing that, they're on drugs.
Well, it's just like,
it's nothing coordinated. It's just a bad trip.
But I feel like most of the time it's probably just some guy, like he's back there checking the meters or something. And then there's some house mom that's like freaking out because she's peeking through her blinds thinking that this guy's like looking for a way in, when no, it's just some dude with a clipboard looking for
maybe that's the innocence in us, like our naiveness.
Like, it may be
small, like, small town. Like, we don't have to worry about that really, but
we just don't believe that people are actually out to kill us and stuff.
The ones that I don't like are, and you see them on Facebook all the time. Like, I was in Walmart and this guy followed me for like three aisles and like he was staring at me and I was so afraid. I couldn't say anything. I ran out to my car real quick and it's like
just sprinted, dead sprint.
Well, I'm just like, one, like if you think somebody is following you,
don't run out to your car. Maybe go talk to someone. Well,
make a scene. Like, call them out.
Like, yeah, that's
you're not helpless. Cause I mean, part of my kind of dismissing it is probably male privilege.
And yeah.
Like, you're not defenseless in that situation. But yeah, like, they're not helpless. And like, and then the other part of me for that is, like, were they really watching you? Was it just coincidence that maybe, you know, they were picking up zucchinis in the vegetable aisle, then had to go get bread, and they had to get condiments. And it's just the same path that you were taking, and they were going the same route.
Yeah.
Maybe you are a good-looking person, and maybe they were checking you out. Maybe that's not a good thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they were looking to kidnap you and steal your organs.
Yeah, like, there's definitely a difference between like peeking over and like, hey, that chick's pretty hot, and then like full on staring.
Just staring, like hiding a can of their face behind a can of mayonnaise. Like, mayonnaise doesn't come in a can, a jar of mayonnaise. But
they're just holding it in front of them.
Yeah, like, oh, I hope she doesn't see me. This box of cornflakes will help hopefully hide me. Yeah, I mean, and again, like, if that's the situation, they're obviously checking you out. Like, call them out. Like, publicly shame these people. Like, these maybe creeps. They'll realize, hey, that's not cool to do.
Yeah,
because I know that happens. Like,
yeah, you know, every once in a while you'll get a guy with a camera in his shoe and
yeah,
like, walking around Walmart.
Don't wait and post about it later on Facebook. Publicly shame him.
Yeah, what does that do? How does that help?
Yeah,
if you're posting about the it guy's 6 hours already, later.
Yeah, he's already home recording he's uploading his shoe cam footage to his computer and probably jerking it. Like, yeah.
He's got things to do.
Shame him there so people are like, hey, this freak
is jerking it
to shoe cam porn. Shoe cam porn. I don't even want to look it up because I'm sure there's something.
Oh, I'm positive it exists.
You know what I just found out about? Like,
what?
Probably last week. Wikifeet.com.
Why do I feel like I've heard of that before?
It's
like, it sounds familiar.
It's exactly what you think it is. It's a it's an online catalog of people's feet.
Just like, random people.
You can search celebrities and like pretty much any shot of their foot is gonna be on WikiFeet. Yeah.
Like, can you search like normal people? It'd be like creepy to find somebody that you know on
I
there.
Don't know because I didn't. I only. Okay. So, how I found it, I was watching a YouTube video of Megan Patoon. Wow. I think I tried to chug this so I'd get drunk really fast, and I'm at three quarters of the bottle. I was watching a YouTube video of Megan Patoon, and like she was doing like these like random like workout things for a month, and she like in one shot she had to like put on these like I guess like high platform shoes, and she like squeals like, ah, WikiFeet, and like I watched a couple other videos and she kept referencing it, which almost makes me think she has like a deal with WikiFeet. But
right.
But
she's sponsored by WikiFeet.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? And so I looked it up. And then when I got there, I was like, oh God, this is just a catalog of feet.
Yeah.
And then I searched her and like there is legitimately like hundreds of pictures of just like thumbnail images from her videos of her feet. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. Like, I never got the whole foot fetish thing.
I don't get it either.
They're feet people. I mean, I shouldn't kink shame. I shouldn't, but it's...
But shame.
I don't...
Shame.
Shame on
you. Shame.
It's some weird stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely odd. Because, yeah, I don't know. It's not... I don't know. Like, I could understand maybe, like, somebody finding, like, somebody's feet attractive. Maybe? Kind of? But it's like people go to the point where it's like, that's like the sexiest part of the person.
Right.
Is like
I could
the soul of their feet. It's like, oh, look at that arch.
I could see, and I guess that's
like, I don't know.
It's just not a kink to us. Yeah. So like for us, we're like, okay, those feet might be cute. Like
saying that though, it just sounds weird. Like to think that like somebody's feet, because I don't know, I kind of think feet look weird. Like if you've ever just stared at feet.
I avoid looking at feet.
It's like
they're gross.
It's like a deformed hand. It's like really fucked up hand. I don't know. It just looks odd. Same thing with ears. I don't like ears.
You don't like
ears are weird looking.
I did not know that. That's funny.
It's like, well, I guess it's not that I don't like ears. It's just they're weird. They're a normal thing of life, but. They're weird.
It reminds me of there was an episode of King of the Hill where Peggy, she becomes a foot model. And what she doesn't realize is, like, Peggy's feet, like, the website or whatever that they had for it. Because the photographer would be like, all right, we're going to have you, like, step on these eggshells. And, like, she was mushing, like, egg yolks and stuff between her toes and stuff.
Smash her.
Like, it was, like, weird like foot fetish porn, and she had no idea. And I was like, that's what this just reminds me of. Like anybody with foot fetish just reminds me of that episode. It's weird to me. We all have our kinks, but that one's a weird one.
It's just odd.
Yeah. A 20 hour day versus a 24 hour day. I can't exactly remember my thought process on it, but I think it was if we broke everything down to like we only because, okay, as it stands now, you kind of work 8 hours, you're supposed to sleep 8 hours, then you have 8 hours to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
If you ran on a cycle of you only worked 7 hours, slept 7 hours, and had 7 hours to do whatever you wanted, you kind of get this extra day of doing stuff. I think that was my whole point to that. And I can't remember what the, like, okay, with that extra day, you could do whatever you wanted. I think it was more of like, as a society, if we adopted that, it's kind of like having an 8-day work week. Like we could squeeze in having 3-day weekends or whatever.
Yeah.
But it would have to be like a whole, like the whole system would have to change.
Yeah. It would have to completely like, yeah, jack everything up. We can't even get rid of fucking
daylight savings,
let alone...
Is that what you were actually going for?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was just being funny.
Oh. No, we can't even get rid of daylight savings, let alone add another... Or take away an hour out of the day and then add it to, like, another full day or something.
I think some places don't have daylight savings.
Some don't.
Because, I mean, the only reason, like, we have it here in the Midwest was because farmers, like, going back to school, like, they needed kids to be available to help with crops.
Yeah.
And so they did the whole daylight savings, so, like, schools and shit, like, started later, got out earlier. It'd be weird, though, if we had, like, a whole 21 hour day. Like I know like we have 24 hours because that's how long it takes us to go around the sun.
To rotate.
Yeah. Science. So like, I guess like to stick with that as like, okay, this is a day and not some arbitrary, like, oh, let's pick 21. And
yeah,
you know, every 8 days we, you know, whatever, you know? So like that kind of makes sense, but it'd be nice if you could somehow, if you like, I feel like that'd be easier to do as a person, as an individual, if you had like a bunch of money to where like you kind of made your own rules in your life. Like,
yeah,
all right, I'm gonna operate on a 21 hour a day philosophy. I sleep for 7 hours, I work for 7 hours, and I do whatever for 7 hours. And then you know what? Every week I get an extra day. It still wouldn't work though, because you would still like, it'd still be like Monday, and you'd be like, yeah, it's on my eighth day, but it'd still be Monday for everybody else. So
it's Rocktober.
Yeah.
Where am I?
It just wouldn't work. But I don't know. It was a weird kind of thought I had. I wanted to explore a little bit.
I could definitely like, I don't know. Yeah. Cause probably the biggest like stopper of it is just the fact that there are like physical reasons why we have days as long as they are, and why we have years as long as they are, is specifically because of the rotation of the Earth and the orbit around the sun. So.
It's really weird, like how years will go. It's really weird because, like, it always feels like at the start of the year, everything goes by, like, super slow. And then it's, like, March. All of a sudden, boom. Before you know it, it's almost September.
Yeah.
And, like, you're like, oh, crap. Where'd the rest of the, like, where'd the whole summer go? Where'd this year been? It's already this late in the year. It kind of slows down towards the end. You have October, November, December. And before you know it, boom, you're in the new year again. Like, it's kind of weird just how fast, like, our lives kind of go.
Yeah. Yeah, it, like, I guess I think it's just because of, like, the repetitiveness of, like, working. Because, like, I always felt like when we were kids, like, and we had school off for the summer, I always felt like the summer was, like, really long. It wasn't until we were like in high school that like it really started to get like feel short, especially in college. Like I always felt like the summer was really short. And maybe that was just more being more aware of time, mm-hmm. and like what day it actually is. Cause I remember like middle school, there were summers where like I would not know what the day was.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. It was just a day, and you know, I would have no clue what the date was, and at least until I went back to school, and then like I'd pick that back up. But yeah, like now it's, you know, even throughout the summer, you know the date, you know the what time is it, because you got things that you're like planning or whatever.
So that'd be, I feel like a lot of our life is spent waiting for like the next big thing in our life.
Yeah,
like whatever our next big like plan is. And so, like, you kind of, like, oh, I can't wait 2 weeks out because I'm going to do this or whatever. And so you're like, ah, I wish I could just fast forward to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's bittersweet. Like, it's cool to be excited for something, but at the same time, you don't want to just, like, waste those days in between.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, I feel like with working, we're just, like, waiting for the next vacation day.
Yeah, I, that's how I feel, like, especially at kind of work now is, like, I like what I do, but during the week, I'm almost like, ah, I can't wait till the weekend because then I have free time. I can go do whatever. But really what you want to try to achieve is, like, every day you have something to kind of look forward to, not just, I have to get through this day because then I'm a step closer to what I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just doing it wrong.
Maybe. But we can't be the only ones.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably an insane number of people who do that. Where
well,
it's just
you got to make that bread somehow,
day.
You know?
Yeah.
Did you know that orcas are really smart?
Orcas?
Orcas. And that dolphins are apparently, like, related to orcas. I thought orcas and dolphins were kind of like separate, but they're of the same class or something.
So are orcas mammals?
That I'm not sure.
I mean, they would have to be because dolphins are mammals.
Whales are mammals. Pachyderms or something. They give birth to live babies. I think that's all that makes a mammal a mammal.
Yeah, is the live birth. I believe.
But they're smart, though. And
how smart?
Like, super smart. Did you know?
Can they do my taxes?
They can't. Well, I don't know. Maybe they can. They probably just don't want to.
It's just not going to be right.
Well, they kind of
errors in it.
One of the things they can do, so like when they pack, they pack hunt. And so like if there's a seal that's like on a thing of ice, okay, a floating thing of ice.
Yeah.
And they can't like go up there and get the seal off of it. What they'll actually do
climate change.
They will rush towards the block of ice and it causes a wave, which could then actually overturn the ice, causing the seal to fall into the water. They'll fucking devour it. And there's I don't know, there's something weird about them, you know? Like, they will, I guess there was like the first registered bite from an orca to a human. Like, for the most part, they just kind of leave us alone. Yeah. Almost like they know that, okay, this is another apex predator, like, don't mess with them. Or maybe they have their own, like, language or something. But it's just weird, that whole family, like, orcas and dolphins.
Yeah.
Because dolphins are, like, super smart.
Crazy
like they,
intelligent.
They actually have, it's the part of the brain that actually, like, is used for thought. Like they actually, it's like the cerebral cortex or something. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Some part of the brain, they actually have like a fully developed one that actually like processes like thought, like they think things.
Well, and don't they, like, don't we know that they can like communicate? Like they have like a sort of language.
I think so.
I mean, I guess like every animal technically communicates with each other in some quote-unquote language, but like I'm pretty sure theirs actually has like some sophistication to it.
Yeah. Well, and they're like one of the few mammals that actually like has sex for pleasure.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Like I think dolphins probably have like a whole like they don't fuck with us kind of, like they know we're fucking things up. Maybe that's why they bit us. Like they know we're fucking things up, so they're like, hey, like listen, like cool your jets.
Cool your tits.
Like one day you guys are gonna evolve and you're gonna move to the ocean too, and maybe they did start global warming. That's their plan of like overtaking the land with water.
We will rise.
We will rise with the oceans. That's
interesting. The prophecy is complete.
Interesting theory.
We will ride the great wave across the lands.
Flat Earth 2020.
Flattered, what is it, running for president?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, something I didn't think about until recently is NAFTA, North America Free Trade Agreement. It kind of hurts us in a way. Like it actually can promote companies, because so what it is you have free trade agreements pretty much between Canada, Mexico, and the US. Mm-hmm. And it almost actually promotes U.S. companies to go down and open up in Mexico or Canada, usually Mexico, for the cheaper labor, because then they can trade to the U.S. for little to no cost.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until like a couple days ago, weeks ago, where that could have actually, I was all for it. I was like, oh, well, you know, this is good. This helps bolster industry in the U.S. because now we have, you know, trade agreements with Mexico and Canada, and we'll move our product. But when you think about it from a capitalist standpoint, all they care about is bottom line.
Yeah.
So if you can then go to Mexico and you have cheaper labor, but you're still shipping to the U.S. for little to no cost.
Well, obviously, but then that means that you have to raise the prices. Like, because that's the thing is like, we're like a consumer nation. Like I don't know. I'm trying to think like how to explain it, but like, cause like if, yeah, we may have jobs here because like we raise the cost to do business, like to trade stuff to us from Mexico, but then if they bring their companies here, all the, like, all those products are going to be more expensive now. So do you want to pay more as, like, an individual? Would you want to pay more per product or lose those jobs?
Well, I think that's the flaw in the system is you think, okay,
it's kind of a no win.
If we have a trade agreement, Mexico will take and bring their products to the U.S. and manufacture them here. But in reality, they don't, because in the U.S., they'd have to pay higher wages.
Yeah.
They'd rather stay in Mexico and produce it down there for cheaper and then sell it in the U.S. for more.
Yeah.
Which they could do under the trade agreements.
You bump up those prices a little bit, that offsets the cost, and then...
Whereas if we didn't have the trade agreements, Ford isn't going to go open a manufacturing facility down in Mexico for the free labor, or not free labor, but cheap labor, because they're going to still have to pay to build the whole manufacturing place. They're going to have to pay for the cheap labor, but then they're going to be taxed to import it into the U.S., where it's cheaper just to produce in the U.S., even with the higher wages.
Well, I guess you would have to tax them to the point where that would be true.
Well, I think that's what, like, people kind of don't realize is with a trade agreement, you're doing away with those tariffs, taxes, all that. And so it's kind of promoting U.S. companies to go down where the labor is cheaper, because you don't have the tax and tariffs to now import your stuff into the U.S.
But then we get cheaper products.
No.
If it's cheaper.
That's the thing. It's not cheaper products. It's cheaper labor. It means higher profit margin.
But then if a company's already in Mexico and they can produce a product for $5.
Uh-huh.
And then they move their business, and they, okay, so they produce a product for $5. They then transport it or sell it, move it up into the U.S. Now that costs them $3. So now each product is like,
but it doesn't $8. Work that way. If you're already based in Mexico, if it costs you $5 in Mexico, it's going to cost you, we'll just throw out numbers, in the U.S. it's going to cost you $7 because you have to pay a minimum wage.
Yeah.
So now the product that you made in Mexico for $5, and let's say you sold it for $10, okay? You made $5 for each product.
Yeah.
You move to the U.S., it costs you
$7.
You still sell it for $10. Now you're only making $3, so you're not going to do it because you're not making as much money.
Yeah.
Flip it. You're in the U.S., you're making a something that's sold for $10. You have to pay wages. It costs you $7 to do it. $3 profit margin. Or you move to Mexico, you make that same product, sell it for $10, but you're only paying $5 to produce it now because labor is cheaper.
Yeah.
You're still selling it for $10, but you're only paying $5. You're now making $5 instead of $3.
Yeah.
That's the bad thing about the trade agreements. The trade agreement allows you to.
It allows you then. I get that then you're promoting them to move to like Mexico to start producing down there.
Right.
But then what's the incentive of coming back up to here?
Because you're still selling your product in the U.S. and you don't have to pay the tariffs.
But so you
move down there, you're producing it cheaper, you're selling it for the same price, and you're able just to move it as if you were in the U.S.
Yeah, you would have to, in a sense, not really artificially, but like you'd basically have to raise the cost of production up past that $7 mark. So you would have to, your taxes would then have to make it so in order to produce this product and sell it, it would cost me $8 per unit or whatever.
But that's what the trade agreements do, is they negate that. They say, okay, we have an agreement with Canada and Mexico that we can move things without tariffs and taxes, as if maybe we're the same country.
Yeah, it allows us to get those products for cheaper then, because you're not adding those taxes on.
With capitalism, it doesn't translate into cheaper price. It should. In theory, you would think, okay, if I can produce this for less, then I can lower the price.
But I guess that's not what happens,
we can produce it for less, but we can still sell it for the same price.
But I guess my point, though, is if I was a company in Mexico producing a product for $5, selling it for $10, then I get taxed for, and now each product costs me $8 to produce. Why wouldn't I just sell it for $13?
People might not buy it for $13.
I mean, I guess it depends on the product. It depends on the situation.
Your price is set by what people are willing to pay for it.
Well, I mean, if you need Tide...
if you need Tide, they're gonna
I guess that's my point, but very few instances do they have.
It's the same reason, like after a hurricane on like a Caribbean island, douchebag companies will sell a case of water for $20.
Yeah,
because there's a limit. There's not a good supply of it. They can get away with it because there's, what are you gonna do? Not drink water.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a whole, like, a whole thing with, like, need items that are, like, needs.
Yeah.
And, like, with, because, like, that, I guess that reminded me, I guess, of, like, medicine and.
Yeah. There's a fine line between what you can charge for a product and what people are willing to pay for it. You want to find that sweet spot where you're still profitable while maximizing what they're willing to pay.
Well, so, but like, I guess,
and
I can't imagine like taxing imports is always a good thing.
No, I don't think you should tax necessarily all imports, but what these agreements will do is they just incentivize, as a company, you want to produce whatever product you have for the lowest cost possible to you while maximizing profit.
Yeah.
And if everything were equal, if you could pay half as much labor and still sell for the same price, have the same other manufacturing costs, same shipping, yeah, tax, all that, but pay less for labor, your profit margin goes up. You're going to do it every time.
Isn't that capitalism?
That's what I mean. That is capitalism. Kind of what it
sounds like is like, I don't know, because I guess that's kind of what government, or like what any kind of, like how the economy works in general, is through trying to force things to happen through taxing certain things. And I mean, why don't we just force people to do it? Seems like socialism with extra steps.
Pretty much.
It's like we want you to do we'll go this huge roundabout way to tax you in like unique ways in order to basically force you. Like, ideally, if the U.S. could just be like, the only way to be profitable would be to, produce your product in the U.S.,
mm-hmm,
then I guess that would be what they would try to do.
That's the other part of capitalism, is if there's a better product on the market, it will, if it's truly a better product, it will win.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you have somebody who's going to go down to Mexico and produce a product and it's cheaper and they're charging the same price. Theoretically, according to capitalism, a better product could come along that was produced in the U.S. If people really want it, people will buy it. It will become the most popular and the other thing will die.
Yeah.
The problem that we have with capitalism is we've put junk with it. We've put taxes and regulations and everything to where it's no longer a free market where it can just, I guess, naturally go its course. Yeah. You can't just, if you're AT&T, I can't just be like, you know what, I'm going to do it better and then do it better and come in and win. Like, yeah. There's barriers to entry that prevent that. There's regulations that prevent it, whether it's money, technology, whatever. You can't just come in and wipe one of these big competitors out.
Kind of one thing I thought about the other day was, in a way, in a particular way, like, because China's communist, but they oddly enough have, like, seem to have an even more capitalist, like, system than we do. Because they, at least, I don't really know their, like, copyright laws, but they seem to be pretty loose. And, like, I know that that's, like, a big issue.
Well, they kind of just do whatever they want.
Yeah. But, like, isn't that the most direct form of capitalism that you can have? Direct competition. You come up with something, and then 1,000 other people can make it as well. And then it forces the cheapest, best product to be formed. Like, I guess,
in a way, yes.
Because then, like, it also stints innovation, but that's kind of the problem with cap. Well sort of the problem with kind capitalism of the thing in is, general is
what we've put into place is, you know, patent law and copyright where,
yeah,
okay, we understand that you put in a lot of research to this, and that healthcare, perfect example with prescription drugs. We have protection, patent protection. So a new drug comes out that cures cancer, has like a 9-year protection before it can be made generic.
Yeah.
So those first 9 years, that company can charge whatever they want because it's protected. They put in all the research, the money up front to find the cure.
Yeah.
It's not about who all it can save. It's about recouping that money. And through capitalist systems and government interference, we've put protections for that's okay. In a truly capitalist system,
you wouldn't have
as
that.
Soon as that innovation came out, 8 other people would pick it up and do it better in order to succeed. Or, and what you would end with is, this is the best epitome of
that thing,
whatever it is. And we don't have that because we have these other roadblocks that we've put into capitalism. We don't operate in a fully capitalistic system anymore. It's some kind of weird roadblocked, red taped hybrid.
Yeah, well, and that's the big problem with it, with like things like that in medicine, is that, okay, I come out with the cure for cancer and everybody with cancer kind of wants it, and it really forces people to then have to decide, do I pay the outrageous amount of money for that thing?
And that's exactly what it's going to be too, is outrageous. Yeah.
And it's like and like, that's where I think a lot of people, there's like, well, I think that's why a lot of people who like who don't really like the system that we have currently, I guess, like, they see that and they go, well, that just doesn't seem right that a 9-year-old kid can die from a disease that is now known to be curable because of financial reasons.
Right. And that's, capitalism is good. It comes down to the people that are running it. And it's,
well, but
we've,
pure capitalism is just more money. So it doesn't matter that 9-year-old kid died, wish he had better insurance, you know,
in a way, because what would happen to be competitive in the market, you would come up with that cure for cancer and then you'd come up with it cheaper. so that the 9-year-old would be able to afford
it. Well, but 9 years later. Like, that's the way.
Well, that's
the
thing, though, is if once the innovation, the cure came out, it would be available to everybody.
Yeah.
How it is now is it's all, we've put those protections in for capitalism. So you come up with the cure, nobody can touch it for 9 years.
Yeah.
After 9 years, then they can start their research on it. They have to hope that they come up with the cure before that.
Yeah.
And when they do, then they patent that and then they have protection. In a purely capitalistic society, the cure is out there. Now everybody has access and now they're trying to get a competitive edge. And that competitive edge, a big one, is price.
Yeah.
So, okay, you came out with it. And you're trying to maximize your profit and recoup your cost. You're charging $1,000 a pill. To compete with that, I'm going to charge $900 a pill.
Yeah.
To compete with me, you're going to lower it.
Yeah.
And so now you have where, you know, what are people willing to pay for it? It balances itself out. But in our system, we have a protection for you to where you can recoup your money.
Yeah.
So, okay, you found this cure. Now charge whatever you want for the next 9 years to recoup your costs. And then after that, then we'll worry about you trying to be competitive. At that point, it's no longer capitalist
for
besides the
years,
fact
it's not
of like, it's all about profit.
Yeah. Because like, because that's the thing is you can't go into a fully capitalist society because then why invent anything?
Well, that's where
because
it comes down to
the
people.
You make more money off of waiting for other people to do it and then ripping off their idea than you would to put the time, money, and energy into developing your own thing.
Which is valid. And I think, again, it kind of goes back to, it comes down to the people that are in charge of it. If it wasn't about money, if it was just about like, oh, I'm going to come up with a cure for cancer because I just want people cured of cancer.
Yeah.
We would have it.
But then you're kind of like preying on the few good people. Like that's kind of like, cause then like, I guess my thinking is that then the guy who was like, you know, oh, my mother died from cancer and it affected me and I don't ever want to see that happen again. So I'm going to take all my money. The rest of my life is going to be dedicated to solving this. And then you have mega corporations who then turn around and can just rip it off. And like that guy who spent everything in order to develop it now more than likely would probably get little to nothing in return for all of those efforts.
We need as a people, as a race, a human race, we need to change our thinking. It needs to be more about cancer sucks, let's eradicate it.
Yeah.
And not what would I get out of curing cancer?
Well, and that's why, like, because like the way I look at like the government is that it's a group funded project that we expect to not be, that it doesn't expect to make money off of it. And so like when, because that's kind of what, like, it seems like a perfect thing for, like, the government to be able to do, that, you know, you raise a small tax or something, and then everybody essentially is pitching in to say, we all agree that nobody else should die from cancer, so we're all going to pitch in to fix cancer, and nobody should be expecting to then reap the benefits of it, besides cancer now being cured.
Yeah. And that, that's what it should be. But unfortunately, like, government has now become two parties that it's all a pissing match of who's the winner.
Yeah.
And the losers are the people.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a large group of people who really think that, like, they don't want anything from anybody else. And they don't want to give anything to anybody else. You know, they like they don't want anything from others and they don't want to give anything to others.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I want to be born, live on my land. this idea of like ownership, that they actually own their land and stuff, which is anymore kind of a,
you don't,
it's not like real. Like, you know, you don't really own it.
And now more than ever, even like government can come in and be like, we have to put a freeway here.
Yeah.
And you're SOL at a certain point. Like,
yeah, they reimburse you a little bit.
You have plenty of opportunity to cash out up until a certain point where they're like, all right, you had your chance. Now we're taking it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a fucked up world, man. And the government's not your friend, per se.
Per se.
I don't think the government in its current system, at least.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And like, what sucks is that more and more we're getting, like, even on the side of like the people, or, you know, like, because I kind of, I've always like thought of Democrats as being like, you know, we're looking out for the little guy, the person who like is trying to do good, but because of their situation can't, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to try to push them over the edge to help them, you know, work their way out and stuff. And like, even now, it just seems to be more and more drifting away from that.
I think it's a lot more they use that guise of, you know, we represent the underrepresented.
Yeah.
And it's still just a pissing match between left and right. We're getting a lot more fringe versus center. We want center. We want balance.
Yeah. And that's what sucks is, like, I think most people, that's what they want. They want center. They want moderate, but like, it's the louder voices are on the fringe.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to another Beer Den review.
Don't forget to follow us on social media. Links down in the description.
Subscribe, like, and share. And if there are any beers you would like us to try out, leave them in the comments below.
We'll see you on the next episode of the Beer Den Podcast.